on KHOIU Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Hello to you, the listener. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Gail Seiler, and my co-host today is Greta Anderson. Good morning, Greta.
Hello, Gail. Today is a very special show because we're broadcasting to you live from the lobby of Parks Library at Iowa State University, thanks to our engineers Eric Weber and Evan Taylor, who got here very early this morning, and in frigid weather, I might add, to set up our equipment and get us on the air.
And thanks to Ursula, our station manager, who's at the station, making sure this is being recorded and everything is correct at that end. So this is a team effort this morning.
Woo-hoo.
And we thank the library personnel who've helped to make this happen, especially to Monica Gillen, the communications specialist at the library, and to the Dean of Library Services, Beth McNeil, and we'll be talking with them later on in the show.
You might be wondering why we are broadcasting from the ISU library today. Well, the reason is it's finals week. In fact, it's the first day of finals this morning, and there's a lot going on here. We wanted our listeners to have the chance to hear about life in the library and at Iowa State during finals week.
That's right. The library is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 2 weeks. These round-the-clock hours began last week during Dead Week as students got ready for finals, and the 24-hour open library continues this week now that final exams are in full swing starting this morning.
We arrived about an hour ago to get set up, and there were many students who have apparently been here all night, including our first guest who's with us. We'll talk to him in a minute. A lot of students are kind of getting ready to go this morning. They have a 7:30 exam. That's a popular exam time. And so we have a few shout-outs to these folks who are going to be streaming out of the library very shortly. We have Ron, who has an exam in Economics 101. Faith has an exam in Statistics 101. We wish you good luck on those exams. Faisal, you've got a data structure exam. I know you're going to rock that one. Ryan, thermodynamics. Good luck on that. Carla, anthropology 201. We need more anthropologists, Carla. Good luck with that one. Cindanella and Jessica are studying hard for a Psych 380 exam.
Ooh.
And Jeff has been up for 48 hours due to, I think, some unfortunate events, and he's going to try to squeeze in a personal and consumer health exam. We wish you a lot of luck, Jeff, on that exam at 7:30 this morning.
Yeah, a lot of the students have been here all night, and it's people are smiling, but there is a level of tension and stress in the air as well.
Some people have to move their cars at 7 o'clock, too, so that's another dimension.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that.
Well, right now we have with us E. Izzet.
Yeah.
He's been here. You've been here since 9 p.m. last night?
9 p.m., yeah.
Well, and E., what have you been studying all this time?
I've been studying chemistry 167.
167, okay.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's basic chemistry. Yeah, it's for first semester takers, yeah.
That's right. This is your first semester at Iowa State.
This is my first semester in Iowa State.
You're a freshman.
No, I'm a transfer.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Where'd you transfer from?
I transferred from Pittsburgh Community College.
And why did you decide to come out here to Iowa State?
I had family here, and people were saying Iowa State was a great place for pursuing your engineering goals. Yeah, so.
Okay. And what do you like about studying at late at night, through the night, here at the library?
Oh, well.
Or not like.
Well, why do you choose to do your studying here?
The library is like, it's really conducive for studying, and people are always coming in and out, and like, you see all of your friends here, and they sometimes bring food, and I'm always having like people coming in and telling me like, oh yeah, there's like new things happening, like I'm bringing new food for you, and yeah.
Okay, so it's not like the isolation tank that you might think of a library is just, you know, you go there to get away from all of the stimulation. Actually, you have a certain level of
stimulation everywhere. It's happening everywhere, all around the library, and it's not like studying for like 8 hours in your room. It's not being cooped up. It's quite the opposite, actually.
Okay. That's great.
That is really wonderful. So it's almost like a community of people who, especially throughout the night.
Yeah, throughout the night, it hasn't stopped until, I think, just about now, when people are about to go for their exams. Even now, people are still, their energy levels are still high.
It's mutual support.
Yeah, mutual support.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And you don't even have an exam today, do you?
I don't.
Your exam is?
It's on Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you're doing the smart thing and studying early.
Studying early because I'm going to be working throughout the week. So, yeah, trying to find my time, organize it properly.
Okay. Let it just sort of percolate in through your brain.
Yeah.
How many exams do you have?
I have about three. Yeah. Okay. Three this week. I've already done one.
The take-home or?
It was something early in aerospace seminar.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an aerospace engineer.
Wow. Yeah. How do you find, you said you came from a community college?
Yeah.
How do you find so far studying for exams here compared to there? Is there a difference or?
Studying for exams here, I think the level of determination of the students here is a lot greater, and people prepare better here. Like weeks before dead week, people are already cramming in for their future tests and exams. And I think the way the students study here in ISU, it really inspires me to want to study, you know, even if you're not that keen on doing it.
Yeah. That's interesting. Do you have any courses in which you have projects, not exams, that kind of thing? So other ways of assessing you?
Well, not really. Not this semester.
Not this semester.
I think maybe in future semesters I'll have that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. When you get into other engineering courses, yeah. Sounds like you're going to have a good week.
Yeah, I'm going to have a good week. I think so.
So E, you go by just the letter E.
Yeah, I was actually named E.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your friends all come up with different things that E can stand
different
for.
Different theories, yeah.
Yeah. E equals MC squared, maybe.
Yeah, A, B, C, D, E.
Okay. Well, E, we wish you a lot of luck. And
Thank you.
And we also wish your friends luck. They've been encouraging you on to come on the radio. So
yeah, I know.
We got to thank them.
But they put you up to it.
They did. Thank you, too, for having me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was E. Is it? Formerly of Pittsburgh, now an Iowa State student in aerospace engineering.
Yeah.
One of the services that the library offers at the end of the semester is called Barks at Parks. Every afternoon last week, there were therapy dogs in the library, and students were able to play with them and pet and cuddle with them. The students love it, and it's a real stress reliever that many took advantage of. I stopped by last week and I interviewed a number of people who were there with the dogs, both students and some of the dog handlers and people who brought their dogs, specially trained therapy dogs. And it was really amazing. And we're going to play that in a minute. When I stopped by one day last week, students had arrived up to 20 minutes ahead of time just to get a spot and be in the room sitting on the ground when the dogs got there. And when I left, there was a line of over 100 students waiting to get into the room.
Well, it's like finals week about to have start, and I like love dogs, and I have a dog back home, which I miss a lot, and he's a golden, so we have a golden retriever here right over there, so it's just like, you know, connecting back to my dog, maybe, I guess. Yeah.
And is this the first day this week you've come?
No, this is my third day, actually, because they're, like, so loving, and they're, like, different dogs every day. Some are, like, small, some are, like, big, and all sort of breeds, especially Husky is my favorite, and that's why I just, like to come here and hang out with them.
And what are you studying, and how many? Do you have a lot of exams this week?
Yes, I actually had an exam, yesterday, and I'm studying architecture. It's my third year here, and I have, like, two exams on Monday, and then I'm free.
So this helps relieve your stress and just get you in a good feeling.
Yeah, for sure. It really helps you out to like focus on your studies and then get back to that study mood after a break. And it's like a stress buster, I guess. Yeah.
Well, good luck on them. I'll talk to your friend here. Is this the first day you've come?
Yes, this is the first day I've come. I'm actually a bit scared of dogs, so my friends were here, so I just tagged along. But yeah, they're very, very cute, and they're definitely a stress reliever.
And you've been petting them?
No, I have never. I had a dog once, but I was very young that time. I am a little scared of dogs, so I don't really have a pet.
But you're still enjoying just watching and watching everyone else interact with them. And what are you studying, and do you have a lot of exams?
Yeah, I am a pre-medicine student. I have 4 exams and 1 presentation during the finals week.
And are you glad that the library is open 24 hours now?
Yes, I'm definitely glad about that. I can stay however long I want to here and study. So yeah, definitely.
And you?
Yeah, I mean, they're like people who have their tents set up in libraries, so they're like, they're here day and night, and obviously it's a great opportunity to have access to facilities 24 hours, obviously. It really helps you out.
Why do you come to pet the dogs?
We just love dogs, but we can't afford to have one because we're students, so this is the best we have, basically.
And did you come deliberately for this today? Have you come other days this week?
I came here yesterday for like 5 minutes, but I was alone, and like that's why I grabbed these two today.
Does this help give you a good break?
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like if I wasn't studying, I would be at home wasting time. So this is, I don't know, it's beneficial at least. It's helping me release stress.
I'm talking with Jill, who is one of the people. Are these actually your dogs?
Yes, these are my personal dogs. Yes. Yes, Thor is an 11-year-old Siberian Husky, and Marco is a 9-year-old Siberian Husky.
And do you enjoy it? What do you get out of it?
Seeing people smile. When we were here in December, they took a video, and I saw the video, and this girl had her arms around Thor, and she had a dog like him at home, and she was crying, happy crying. And I could tell that Thor made her feel better for those few minutes he was with her.
And do you think the dogs like it?
Oh, I know they like it. My dogs are tired. I was here on Tuesday for 3 hours. Then they did the reading program at the library yesterday. So as 9 and 11-year-old, they're pretty tired. So, but yeah, I think they do. I go to Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines every week with them.
I can see the students really appreciate it. It's wonderful that you're here. I'll let you get back to it. What's your name?
Johnny Green.
And why are you here petting dogs?
Because I've been a dog owner pretty much my whole life, or my family has, and, you know, dogs are just fun to be around, especially when they're therapy dogs and they're all calm and, you know, they like to be around you.
And is this the first day this week you've come?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And you've been studying?
Yeah, yeah, as much as I can.
So is this a good break? How does it make you feel?
Oh, you know, even just watching the dogs walk in, you know, I was smiling just seeing them come into the library, so it's even better to be around them. Yeah.
So even just see them walk through the lobby made you smile.
Yep, for sure.
Do you have a favorite?
I'd probably either say one of these little wiener dogs over here or the corgi. I've had wiener dogs pretty much my whole life growing up, so those little guys make me happy.
What is it about petting dogs that feels so good?
They're just so fluffy. Very fluffy. It's nice to have some time to just cuddle with them, I guess.
What are you majoring in? Do you have a lot of exams?
I only have 3 finals, but it's physics and calc too, so it's pretty...
Okay, bring this person a dog. He needs a dog. Can I ask you why you like to pet... Why you're smiling so much?
I just smile a lot. I don't know. What's not to smile about dogs? Honestly.
What's the attraction? Why do people come here during finals week?
Well, it's either pet dogs or study, and this is more fun.
So this is your break from studying.
Yeah.
But you could go sit outside or go have a cup of coffee. Why is petting dogs better?
It's wet outside. It's been raining. Like, it's terrible. So, I don't know. The dogs, they're just so happy. It's hard not to be happy around them. So.
And they feel good.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are really soft, so it's pretty nice. I mean, I have a cat, but it's nice to have, like, pet a dog, too.
Can I ask any of you to tell me why you'd like to come and pet dogs during this time?
Well, it's just a great experience, like petting dogs. It's a great break from the hard times of finals.
This makes me really happy.
Yep. Dogs are awesome.
Do Do you have dogs at home?
I do.
I have an English Cocker Spaniel.
Well,
it's just a great experience, like petting dogs. It's a great break from the hard times of finals.
This makes me really happy.
Dogs are awesome.
Do you have dogs at home?
I do.
I have an English Cocker Spaniel. She's great. Her name's Poppy. She's 3.
Yeah, I miss my dog. She's a golden doodle. Yeah.
Have you come other days, or is today the first time?
I've come every day.
Yeah. You've come every day?
Yep.
I come to the library at night, and they're not here at night. So.
So were you studying in the library, or you came just for this?
A little bit of both. I studied a lot, but I always come like sometime during this period to see him. So, yeah.
And what are you each studying, and how many exams do you have?
I think I have 3 or 4 exams, and I'm studying in elementary education.
And you?
I have 2 exams and a paper, final paper, and I'm in urban planning, which is the design school.
I see you smiling. Why are you smiling?
Doggies. Well, dogs are kind of there. Wow, I really don't know what to say here. Excuse me.
Did you come just to pet the dogs, or were you in the library anyway?
Oh, yeah. I saw a Labrador walking in here, kind of trailed it in, as I did during last dead week. Dogs are a nice companion animal. They're fun. They're nice to have around. Really passionate about them, although, well, some of them can be loud. Maybe a little feisty, but I think they're the ultimate example of man's interminable ability to care for other animals, and a symbol of why the earth is so plentiful and full of life.
As you look at the dogs, do you have one that looks like it might be your favorite that you really want to pet?
That white dog, right? The right husky right there. I forgot what it's called, but I saw those 2 huskies last year. Big fan of them. A big husky fan.
They are soft. They're really soft.
That was Barks at Parks, a program that brings therapy dogs to Parks Library to allow students to take a break from studying and writing papers by spending time with some very friendly dogs. I've got a student here with me in the library. This is Greta Anderson for Local Talk. We're broadcasting live from Parks Library, and with me is a young man, Derek. How's it going? Derek is a 3rd-year mechanical engineering student and just arriving at the library. Unlike some people who spent the night here, he's coming early. That's part of your strategy, right?
Yeah, basically, if you're able to get here early, you can actually find a spot to study. If you come like during midday, there's probably going to be no space. So.
Okay. And what subjects are you studying right now?
Right now, I'm going to study differential equations and mechanics.
Oh, boy. Differential equations. That's something I always wanted to study and never got to.
Yeah, it's tough.
Do you like it?
Well, I mean, I understand it now, so that's the good thing. Usually up until the end of the semester that you can actually understand a subject, so.
That's kind of how it is with math. Like, you start doing things, you're doing it rote fashion, and then after a while you sort of begin to understand.
Yeah, it's not until the end, but that's at least you understand it.
Yeah, well, that's great. What is your goal with the mechanical engineering? Do you know what kind of engineer you want to be?
I haven't decided yet. It's many options. Just trying to get the degree first, and then hopefully I get something quick.
You've been here for 3 years, so you've seen, or have you been here at Iowa State all 3 years?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the 1st year last spring and this fall that the library has been open round the clock. Have you taken advantage of that at all?
Definitely. I mean, I haven't done it this year, but before I have actually just like taking some like naps here and like been here basically 24 hours, so it's helpful.
Okay. Well, it's getting light outside. We'll let you go and back to your studies, but thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you.
Good luck on your exams. Also with us right now is Rose Caraway, assistant professor from the Department of Philosophy and Religious Studies. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.
We had a show, I think it was last Monday.
Last Monday, right.
We interviewed someone about Fidel Castro's death and someone very knowledgeable about Cuba. And we know that you have been to Cuba a number of times as part of your study.
Right.
So tell us about that.
Well, I've been to Cuba for the past about 14 years, traveling there, conducting research on religion and society. And I also have a background in political economy and Latin American studies as well. So I've quite a bit of experience seeing what life is like at the grassroots level in Cuba and working with Cubans with respect to currently my research project on sustainability and religion and the environment.
Well, that's very interesting. We always hear about communist countries being, you know, completely devoid of religion. What is the case in Cuba?
Not the case at all. Cuba is a very diverse place in terms of religions, not just Catholicism, but African-derived religions, so religions of African origin. And then I wrote my dissertation on Protestants and evangelicals. So this is actually a growing movement in Latin America as a whole, even though, and rightly so, we consider it a Catholic region. But evangelicalism has been expanding in Cuba as well.
And what is the connection between religion and agriculture?
It's a great question. So I look at the religious and spiritual dimensions of Cubans and their connection to land. So I'm currently looking at permaculture, which is a holistic design system. It's based in ecology, but it incorporates not only organic farming and a systems-based approach to sustainability, but also ethical ideas. So it involves three principles: caring for the earth, caring for people, and then sharing resources. So I learned some very creative ways that Cubans have managed to use very little resources to collect water and grow food in their backyard or in larger farms, but also how to take care of one another through social programs. And I've sensed deeply over the past 14 years of traveling there that there's a deep sense of social solidarity. And my theory is that that's how Cubans have managed to make things work historically in the context of losing a lot of aid when the Soviet bloc fell. But then since then, they've come up with some incredibly creative ways of using alternative resources, recycling, in order to make ends meet, but also take care of one another in terms of sharing seeds, coming up with creative ways of growing food and using plants that are resistant to climate change, for example. So all of that is going on, but also they have a deep connection to the land in conjunction with, alongside caring for one another, which is a pretty powerful combination, I think.
Do you think that kind of ethos of caring and that idea of social support is a part of Cuban culture that was there, or is that something that's kind of evolved after the revolution? And
that's a great question. I think to some extent you see this elsewhere in Latin America as well in terms of connections with family. So, for example, older members of the family being taken care of by other family members. So yes, to some extent that's outside of Cuba as well. But it is a deep part of the fabric of the revolutionary environment, and sometimes it's hard to tease apart which is which. But you've certainly seen this, I think, in very concrete ways, particularly when the Soviet bloc fell. Mm-hmm. And Cuba entered into what's called a special period and a time of peace, which basically amounted to some pretty severe austerity measures. It's also when Cuba started to bring in more tourism in order to help out their economy. And so this is when Cubans began exploring alternative ways of growing food. And I think that this was made possible in many ways. This permaculture movement, which is actually pretty small but growing, I think the strongest examples of these design systems that I saw were also connected to this a very strong sense of social solidarity and taking care of one another that was notable.
You know, when you think about agriculture in Latin America, mm-hmm. There's a certain amount of American U.S. imperialism that occurs in Latin America with, you know, corporate entities taking on large tracts of land and farming them in industrial style. And obviously, Cuba has been exempt from that because of its... You're saying she's sort of nodding more or less. Talk about that, the imperialism factor. Also, from the Soviet side, I know that Soviets have their type of communal farm. And did they impose that?
So for up until the Soviet Union fell, well, let me backtrack a little bit. At the start of the revolution, the Cuban state put into place some land tenure structures where it brought in the possibility of state farms, really significant plots of land on state-run farms. But then at the same time, they incorporated some a centralized model, mirrored on the Soviet-style structures, and also used quite a bit of pesticides and chemical fertilizers. So this was lost, or a significant amount was lost when the Soviet Union fell. What I did learn is that there's still quite a bit of pesticide use and fertilizer use, even on state-run farms, for certain crops. However, the permaculturalist that I was working with and is tied to this research project, I learned that they have moved away from that model. So they are not using chemical fertilizers and pesticides, but rather they're using ecological methods of growing food. So it's a little bit more complex, right, that there's the Green Revolution was still a part of the Cuban model for quite some time, and even, you know, today there's still quite a bit of chemical fertilizers used, but it's not the amount that it was. So this is where permaculturalists are trying to say, well, what can we do to grow food with fewer resources in creative ways and more sustainable ways?
And the opportunities you had to travel and meet with people in Cuba, what would you say life is like for everyday people in Cuba?
I would say it's challenging, principally because of the economic system that's in place. There's a couple of different currencies. There's two different currencies, the Cuban peso and the convertible peso that's on par with the dollar. So this can get very complicated. Many people moving out of professional jobs like doctors and in the educational field into tourism to try to make ends meet because those who work for the state, which is a majority of Cubans, are making somewhere between $50 and $20 a month. So they have to supplement that with other income. So on a day-to-day basis, it can be challenging and frustrating in many ways, but at the same time, I've seen that ethic of social solidarity that's very strong. And so Cubans, they are very funny. They are full of hope in many ways in the midst of difficult circumstances. And that's what struck me over these many years of traveling there, is that their sense of hope and moving forward is very, very strong. And many Cubans are religious and others are not. And yet, in either of those cases, I've seen that sense of hope that pushes people forward. So hope is a kind of forward. I'm looking at that forward dimension within hope that gets people moving in the midst of difficult circumstances. So my hope is that we can maybe begin to talk about Cuba in a way that tries to understand that at the grassroots level for people, because Cuba has been, the way we talk about Cuba, I think, has been polarized in many ways, either and speaking of Cuba in a more romantic kind of way in terms of the revolution, or talking about it in terms of hell on earth. And really, life at the grassroots is much more complex than that. You see these values in place that have been tied to the revolution, like an emphasis on healthcare and education, you know, realities are complex at the local level, even in those cases. And yet at the same time, you know, we have to recognize, too, that there are those that are critical of the state. And so my hope is that we can look at both sides of that equation, but also look at everyday life. You know, how are people getting up in the morning? How are they going to work? How are they trying to put food on the table and respond to critical questions like human-induced climate change? How are they responding to these problems that we also are dealing with? Mm-hmm. So in many respects, Cubans are like anyone else. They're trying to make ends meet, and they're trying to raise their children. And so that's my hope, is that we can begin to talk about Cuba in a way that acknowledges those complexities.
And maybe with greater access to Cuba now, people can learn all the complexities of it and the many different perspectives and sides from within Cuba.
Sure. I was able to go on a study abroad program when I was a sophomore in college.
Uh-huh.
And so in many ways, I'm here because of that experience,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So those have been going on a while.
Yeah.
And they'll continue. I'm a big promoter of study abroad. I think it really opens up horizons for mm-hmm. students. So it's precisely those experiences, those people-to-people
right.
kind of experiences that help you understand what life is like and give you a broader as well as a deeper picture. So mm-hmm. I encourage Iowa State students to explore study abroad programs because they do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. And based on your experiences there, can you foresee any changes now that Castro is gone?
Well, an important thing to remember is that Raul yeah. Castro has been here as the leader since 2008. So he took over when
right.
Fidel stepped down in 2008. So for nearly a decade now, Fidel Castro really hasn't been playing a direct role in Cuban politics and economics. The changes that I have seen in terms of access to the internet, the setup of Wi-Fi, Cubans having computers and cell phones, all of those things have happened since under Raul.
Mm-hmm.
Although the future is really hard to predict, particularly with a new election and how, the future there is a little bit uncertain. But I will say that these connections have already started with businesses, for example, direct flights from the United States to Cuba.
Right.
So those have already been opened up. So I would anticipate that these people-to-people programs will continue in the future.
So if people here say, yeah, I'd like to go to Cuba, but I know that there's a lot of resorts in Cuba. What would you tell people to, like, how could people experience Cuba? Go on some kind of more organized
sure,
trip?
Sure, absolutely. So those exist. They're called a people-to-people program.
Mm-hmm.
They currently operate under what's called a special license with the Treasury Department. So those are open and available to mm-hmm. Those interested in going. And usually they're tied to themes.
Mm-hmm.
So for those interested in learning more about the Cuban healthcare system or sustainable agriculture, I went on one of these trips, for example, and it really opened up horizons to get in touch with the organization that I'm working with as far as my research. So those are open. There are study abroad programs as well that are connected with third-party providers and companies that can help students work with, for example, the University of Havana or other universities in taking courses. So you can legally. It is possible, though it might surprise people to find out about this, but it's very possible for Americans to go, for religious organizations to go, for example, under religious license. So there's mm-hmm. and now, of course, the number of categories under the general license have been expanded.
Yeah.
You know, what happens there, we'll have to see as far as travel, what the future lies there. But it is absolutely possible.
Well, thank you very much for coming on this cold morning to sit with us in the library lobby on our special live broadcast from ISU's Parks Library. We've been speaking with Dr. Rose Caraway, an assistant professor from the Department of Philosophy and Religious Studies, and gotten some good insights about connections between permaculture, sustainable development, Cuba, and religious studies that we wouldn't maybe have anticipated. Thanks.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
And after the song, we'll be back with Beth McNeil, the Dean of Library Sciences, and a couple more students who've spent the night here. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Here at the library, Parks Library, here on the Iowa State campus. We're here because it's the first day of exams, and we've just had a whole week of the library being open 24 hours for students to study, and this is a rather new policy.
Yeah, and that continues this week. So we're here early this morning, and now we've been talking with some students, and we're going to talk with a few more students, but now we're talking with Beth McNeil, who is the Dean of Library Services at ISU. And, so this is a new policy. When did it start?
Well, we piloted it last May during finals week at the end of the spring semester. So dead week and finals week, 13 straight days, open 24/7, and it was a huge success. It was a huge success right away. So it quickly stopped being a pilot and something we wanted to institute during dead week and finals week as we move forward.
Oh, so last semester was the first time.
That's right. It was okay. The first time. Student government was instrumental in convincing us that we would have students come in, and sure enough, they were right.
And it would be a significant use of resources to keep the library open those extended hours. So what fed into this decision?
Well, we, during the pilot, we decided we would give it a try and do a call out to library staff and faculty to see who might be interested in helping to cover the additional hours. And, of course, our regular student assistants, ISU students who work in the library in a variety of roles around the building, also were asked if they'd like extra hours. And we had such a good response to that that we decided that we could go ahead and try it that way without making anyone change their schedule. Oh. We've had enough volunteers both times. And for some of us, it's just a whole different experience to be here in the middle of the night, talk with students. For me, it's great. I don't have that many opportunities during a regular work day to interact with students. But when I'm here 2 a.m. to 7 a.m., they're around and eager to speak with you to maybe take a little break from their studies.
So you've been here not every night, some nights.
No. Just two.
Okay. Yeah. It kind of rotates who's here from
who's
staff.
Who's interested, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And were you here last night?
I was here. It gets confusing after a while. Sunday from midnight to 5:30 a.m. So yesterday.
Okay.
And one night last week.
Okay. And the reaction from students has been positive, you said?
Very positive. Grateful, frankly. We try to pull out fruit. We have apples, bananas, and oranges that we pull out around 2 a.m. And the number of students exiting the front during the early morning hours, thank you for being open. Thanks for the snacks. Just very positive response.
That's wonderful. And did you have any tents this year? I remember last semester you had a student put up a tent.
We did. We had actually three tents last May. Uh-huh. This time, no. We put the word out with a lot of our regular students who come to the library that no tents and no hammocks this year. It's a safety hazard, the hammocks are, for example. And also, we do want students to get rest. It's important to be here if this is the time they need to study, like to study. But we want them to go to their homes and get some rest, too.
Apart from the overnight issue of staying open overnight, are students' behaviors different at this time of year than they are at other times of the year in the library, do you think?
Well, Iowa State students are very respectful. The ones who come to our library want to be here to study, to work in groups, to focus. And so definitely stress levels are up. We can tell that. Certainly students who stay for many, many hours, you can see them growing more and more tired. But as far as behaviors in the library, we just see more of what we always see. Increased printing, the occasional nap, head down on the table happens more often. We see that more often. But I would say for the most part, everyone is so happy that we're open and that they can take advantage of these hours that we're not finding that we have problems. We certainly are generating more recycling and garbage from all the snacks and eating, but that's to be expected, and we have excellent custodial staff to help us with that.
Yeah, we're hoping to talk to one of those
in
a little bit. So we've been talking a lot about student usage of the library, but faculty use the library as well. So what's going on with usage of the library by faculty?
Well, many of our faculty actually use the library without walking in, which is the benefit of 24/7 access to all of the electronic resources we provide, books and journals electronically. So much of Iowa State faculty scholarship is done using the journals that we have, and most of them are electronic these days. So there are probably faculty here on campus who use the library every day without actually walking into it. But plenty do come in. Our Bookends coffee shop is a very popular stop for faculty who might want to grab a quick cup of coffee or meet with students. We know anecdotally, they tell us that they come here to meet with students to find out more about what their students are up to or to do sort of a mini office hour. They certainly still use our resources. Of course, that varies by discipline. Some of our humanists might use our print resources more often than, say, some of our science faculty. But we do consider faculty to be a very important part of the constituency that we serve. So we're always delighted to see them in person, and we know they use us electronically.
So the library's had to change a lot to accommodate the new ways that people access information and do research. And could you say a bit more about that?
Sure. We do still buy thousands of print books each year, but increasingly a larger and larger portion of our budget is spent on electronic resources. And with the changing nature of scholarly communication, scholars using resources from wherever they are around the world, it's just a benefit to them to have that access electronically. And they are fundamentally the same journal titles. They're just delivered differently to us. They don't arrive through U.S. mail. They arrive through our electronic servers and the ways we can offer them up to anyone who needs to use them. So it does make scholarship perhaps more convenient, like 24/7 hours open in the library. Faculty and students have access to our collections 24/7, more than they used to. So it's a huge benefit. It's also changed the nature of our work. It's a different process to make sure a electronic journal is accessible than it is to make sure it's on the shelf. So our workflows have changed in the library as well.
Okay, so as librarians, you've had to adapt your skills and your own learning.
Absolutely.
I have a colleague who is a relatively new colleague to ISU, but I said something to him about meeting at the over by the library, and he didn't know where the library was.
Not uncommon.
Yeah, yeah. But there's something about being in a library. I don't know. We'll talk to some more students about it, but for me, there's just something about being in a library that is a special feeling. It's a special place. And although they have changed, it's still kind of, for me, it still has that, I don't know, it's a respect for knowledge that I just feel when I walk into a library.
Something about being surrounded by books.
Mm-hmm.
We have students who tell us that they study specifically in our tiers, which are our multi-level stacks, and they may not be using the books and journals in there.
Mm-hmm.
They like the quiet space and they like being surrounded by the books.
Surrounded by them. Yeah. Okay. So what new things is the library working on moving forward? Some new initiatives?
Sure. We're exploring different ways to think about the spaces here in Parks Library. We know that our Iowa State students need more collaborative spaces for working together in groups. And so we've made some early inroads on that with mobile whiteboards that they can push around to the tables where they're meeting in small groups. These are probably 3 by 5 foot whiteboards on wheels, both sides, so students in two different groups could actually use the same whiteboard at the same time. That's one way. We probably have ordered about 25 of those in the last year to facilitate group work. Mm-hmm. It's also excellent for tutoring. Some of the tutors on campus who come here and meet with students use the whiteboards to demonstrate what they're trying to teach them. So that's one thing. I like to think of that as the beginning of a way to build additional collaborative spaces. We'd like to think about some of the floors in parks being less print collections and more student-focused, so that as we move forward in the next couple of years, we'd like to do some renovations that would really provide student collaborative spaces. So that's something we're working on now in small ways and hoping to build on in the future. Other areas we're interested in would be back to the changing nature of scholarship, and as resources become more electronic, we'd like to find ways to open them up to the world, not just to our Iowa State community. I think this is an important part of our land-grant mission, but it's also a movement around the U.S. and actually the world. Europe is a little farther ahead than we are with this open access movement, but the idea of sharing Iowa State University faculty scholarship with the world has a lot of appeal to us. So we're working in the library with campus faculty, with the president of the Senate, Jonathan Sturm, to talk with campus more about how to serve up our Iowa State excellent research to the world and what the library's role in that could be. So those are two areas we think that are going to be areas of focus in the coming year, both for students and faculty.
That sounds like it would benefit, both of those sound like it would benefit people here and beyond ISU.
We think so.
Which is your goal, our goal. Thank you very much for coming in on this cold morning.
You're welcome.
We've been talking with Beth McNeil, the Dean of Library Sciences, and thank you also for giving us this space in the library. And I see Monica is over here, Monica Gillen, who's worked with us to help coordinate this opportunity. Thank you as well, Monica.
We're delighted you're here. Thanks so much.
Now we're going to switch gears, and we're going to talk to some students. Greta, while we've been chatting with Beth McNeil, has gone out and recruited some students to talk with us. And so let's do that.
Yeah, I actually found an Iowan. We've been speaking with a lot of students who came here from foreign lands, but Lucas is from Iowa. Where are you from, Lucas?
I'm from Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Oskaloosa, that's in the south, right?
Yep.
And how? What year are you here at Iowa State?
I'm a freshman. This is my first year.
Okay, how are you liking it?
I'm enjoying it a lot. It's a lot of fun, a lot going on. I like my classes and everything about it, so...
So why did you decide to come to this Iowa State University instead of the other one?
Well, my dad graduated from here, but my mom graduated from Iowa. But growing up, it was a red and yellow house, so It's been Iowa State since I was born. I really didn't think about going anywhere else, and I'm very satisfied with the choice I made.
What is your major, do you know?
Apparel, merchandise, and design.
Okay, I see you wearing some interesting apparel right now with some well-placed, strategically placed tears in your black jeans.
Thank you.
And are those Van
yep.
shoes?
Yeah, yep.
A checkered Van shoes.
Oh, you know your fashion, Greta. Yeah, I'm impressed.
A tie-dyed hoodie.
Yep.
With a khaki trench coat. That's a very nice ensemble.
It's a good studying look.
Yeah.
And so what have you been studying here at the library?
I've been working on a project for my 178 class. It's a final sketch. We have to create our own line of clothing from scratch and design tech flats and illustrations to go along with each garment.
Okay, so not a final, but a final project.
Yeah, and then on the side, I've been studying for my introduction to fashion show production. So I've been studying it for that final, which I have in a couple hours.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
We also have with us Farah?
Yeah, Farah.
Farah from Malaysia.
Yes.
And you are studying what right here?
Currently, I'm studying electrical engineering.
Okay.
And I'm in senior year.
Oh, boy. So this is an important year for you. Some very high-level classes.
Yes.
That requires a lot of concentration.
Yep.
And you're able to find that here at the library.
Yes, currently. This is my, second semester in the library, and I have all-nighter in here.
You have been here all night.
Yeah.
And I think Lucas has, too. He's nodding his head, yeah. He warned me that he hadn't have much sleep for this interview. We just had Beth McNeil, the dean of the library, telling us that this was the second semester that this policy was possible, and so you obviously have been taking advantage of it.
Yes, it's for me. It's every semester before finals. It's very important for me to be in the library, and usually I will bring my pillow and all my books and stuff to here. Like some people can't in here in the library. It's just because of the spirit to study in here.
The spirit of studying.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
So there's something about being around other people who are going through the same thing that is a positive experience.
Yes. You feel motivated to study in here because a lot of people, we are surrounded by books. So we don't have any choice to play games or stuff in here. So in either way, you still have to study. You can take a break, but then you have to continue to study.
And do you have a favorite place in the library to study?
Yeah, I have my favorite spot in the library. Usually during the day, I'll be in the first floor. And during night, I usually go underground because it's more silent in there. And not a lot of people will stay until 3 a.m. in the morning. So usually I just stay down there because it's very serene down there. Yeah.
Okay.
What's your favorite spot?
I'm going to have to agree with going downstairs because personally, when I'm here at 3 or 4 in the morning working on something, if I can see it's dark outside, I'll continue to get tired. But if I'm downstairs with the lights on and no real look to the outside, it just keeps my brain running and usually helps a lot.
Cool strategy. Well, I think we're about out of time for our visit here in the library.
Thank you so much, Lucas.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Farah.
Thank you so much.
And good luck to both of you for your exams.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is KHOY Community Radio, and you've been listening to Local Talk. We've been broadcasting live from Parks Library on ISU's campus. Thanks again to the university and the library for welcoming us here this morning, and to the folks who stopped by our table for and took the time to be interviewed. Thanks to Beth McNeil, the Dean of Library Services, and Dr. Rose Caraway from the Department of Philosophy and Religious Studies for their interviews with us.
And we send good luck and good vibrations to all the students who have exams today or are studying for the big ones later this week, finishing up final projects or papers. Good luck. Remember to take care of yourself. And, Gail, we hear a lot about students. Sometimes folks in the community are not so pleased with their weekend behaviors, but the evidence that we had this morning, they're a pretty serious bunch.
They are, and it's a tough time of year for them. It is a different way of thinking about student life. Local Talk is broadcast on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can also listen to today's Local Talk show and all of our past shows on our website, khoifm.org. Local Talk was engineered by Eric Weber and Evan Taylor. Thanks for making this live show possible, Eric and Evan.
Songs we listened to were The Beatles, And Your Bird Can Sing from the Revolver album. And we're now listening to
the
Iowa State
fight song, I think, yeah. KHOI is a community radio station that is driven by volunteers and made possible by donations from individuals. We're still in our fund drive, so don't delay. You know you love KHOI. You should become a member. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.